joined. Has joined.
Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov.
Are you the first to arrive?
No, there's some, at least one other person.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoa. Ana Bekoa, Yedula Chumin Sa Tati Terura. Alpha Gimel Yutak Sadi. Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagvenu, acharenu, no ra. Ufreshayan, sintet nun. Nagi
has joined.
Dorshe yehutcha, kevavat shamrem. Nun gimaldalad, yudkav shim. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkatcha, tamid gamlem. Betet resh, tzadi tach gimel. Chasin kadosh, berov tuvcha, nael adata. Et kuf bet, tet nunayan. Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimelamet Pezayim Ku Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Ta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Berav Chesed Be'emet Notre chesed l'alachim noseyaon wafesha v'chata'a v'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It's known as Pasuk 29 from Parashat Yitro. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha b'richu ishkinte b'tchilu urchimu tchilu tchilu urchimu l'yakta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael l'imud Torah mitzvah l'asok Torah mitzvah v'yino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei adeinu konenei aleinu maasei adeinu konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Tar Tane Nand Kutcha Berichu Kama De Aved Leila Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Veleila Mila Bialma Divae Barnash L'dach yaleya mineya ulam haga Leya kalana behaku ovada Bikshot inun wikola yitzkirif Bi alma. The energy of the future year, the year that is coming next, starting on Rosh Hashanah, the year 5781. The energy of 5781 is redemption, but only if we are ready for redemption. And in order to make ourselves ready for redemption, we need to study a verse from the Tanakh, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 21. Uagam mehem aeka lakohanim lalivim amar Hashem. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. We study a verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. This one verse is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. V'shamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakam Taka below your guys, old below Yosef. Bene avla la anoto ka asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame meheshi lalahe aka akaheta ezayo alada la awahe heya Yozala me behe he reyo he kome la awa kalayo la wawa he he la nulaha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he reyo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re Yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da. Anu yo he a me re he a yo hey, hey, she, I'm a me. Nu nu ah nu yo ta me be hey pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la hey re hey me cha re wa me be yo hey hey ah nu ah me hey yo ta me be me nu ko la yo ah hey be wa re ah hey yo be me hey yo yo me wa me. We will now connect the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me da he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me. La wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. Hey she hey me kaha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la re yo ha a la me ta hey wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey a nu a ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la hey be hey me za re wa hey be yo he yo a hey ya la wa me za yo. Da be he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. In the names of the Tzaddikim who left this 26th day of Av, Rabbi Yaakov Meshulam Orenstein, Rabbi Yoel ben Rabbi Hananya Yom Tov Teitelbaum, Rabbi Meir Ashkenazi, and Rabbi Eliyahu Baruch Goldschmidt. And there is a very special Mekubal who chose to leave today. His name is Rabbi Yehuda Fataya. And he has a very interesting teaching regarding the soul of Shabtai Tzvi. And we have a link to a handout about that that I'm going to read now. You can find the link on the the 26th day of Av, on the link to the Hilulas that is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. And when that landing page opens up, scroll down to the month of Av, and then look for the 26th day. Rabbi Yehuda Fataya, truly he was a remarkable man, a master Kabbalist, as the following story will show. This rendering is more of a paraphrased translation than literal. I understand sometimes changing tenses and added a needed word that is implied but is not in the original text. I've chosen this format to bring this piece to you so that you can get the feel of the original flow that the piece has to it. There are many lessons within this episode. Those who work today with Yehudim and exorcisms rely heavily on Rabbi Yehuda's work as a guide to how to recognize spirits and how to deal with them once they have been identified. This episode, unfortunately, is not unique. Demonic possession is not limited to the realm of the horror films. Whenever we as Jews violate the mitzvot, we become open to spiritual psychic attacks. And I offer this translation so as to open the eyes of those who do not see. Remember, this story is real. We have an insider's view of what happened. Know that a lot of stories going on around us today are similar to this one. Armed with the knowledge that this episode will provide, you may become more aware of what is really going on in the hearts and minds of those around us. May Hashem bless and protect his people Israel from all our enemies, seen and unseen, physical and non-physical. And may we all say, Amen. Aruchot Misapirot, the spirits speak. On Monday, the 22nd of Kislev in the year 5663, which is, you can tell, is over 100 years ago, a man named Reuben ben Moshe Mani ben Rahama came to me. He was possessed by a spirit named David Yochanan. While I was yet working with him, another man, Yeheskel Ezra ben Israel, came to me. His family name is Bachur. He said to me that for a number of years, evil thoughts would pop into his head, as though from nowhere. During the silent Amidah prayers, or during Kaddish or Kedusha, he would hear a voice within him saying, "Right, give up your religion, convert, and become a Christian." Chas v'shalom. The thoughts were so powerful that they would disturb his concentration, preventing him from any answering the Kaddish or the Kedusha. It had not been 20 years since he had gone to Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the Ben Ish Chai, who sent a letter to Harav Eliyahu Mani in Hebron. The response was that Bachur had a great klipa within his heart, and that he, Rav Mani, couldn't help him. The Ben Ish Chai consulted with me at that time and told me to write a mezuzah and prescribed that Bachur should wear it over his heart. This, however, had no effect. Therefore, he had returned to me to inquire whether he had a spirit within him. Being that Bachur was an honest, God-fearing man, I consented to his request. I started to perform Yehudim by his ear. The Yehudim used against spirits. Thus, the breath of the Yehud enters into his ear and then into his organs, for the breath of the Yehud disturbs the breath of the spirit. While I was reciting the Yehudim into his ear, Bachur started to laugh. I asked him what he was laughing about. He answered and said that he could almost hear another person inside himself, and he is very viciously cursing you, saying, "This one's rabbi," meaning Rabbi Chaim the Ben Ish Chai, "advised you to wear a mezuzah. He should take the mezuzah and place it up his bet haboshet, the embarrassing place, God forbid." Now his student has become the rabbi. He is only half of his rabbi, Yosef Chaim. In this way he did the spirit curse me and mock me. Upon hearing all this, I returned to recite Yehudim by his ear numerous times, without interruption, until such a time that the spirit was cursing, twisting, and turning within Bachur's heart. But I would not pay the spirit any mind. In the end, Bachur inquired of the spirit within him. He said, "Ask Yehuda, what does he want from me?" I said to him, "I want to know from what city you come and what is your name. I want you to tell me the absolute truth. If you lie to me, I will show you what I can do by placing severe punishments and sufferings upon you. The spirit answered Bahur, saying that there have been a number of people like Yehuda who tried to get me to reveal my name, but they weren't able to get anything from me. I am stronger than stone. I do not open up to just anyone. I said to the spirit, if so, I will continue to try, and we will see who will be successful in the end. If you are truly a strong spirit and are accustomed to sufferings, then prepare yourself to suffer the travails of the Yehudim, for they are like an unquenchable flame, and they are more painful than hell itself. For I will not leave you alone until you truthfully tell me your name and where you come. You will suffer all this pain for nothing, because you do not submit to me. You are causing all this suffering to fall upon you, and not me. I started again to recite Yehudim by Bakur's ear, as I did previously. I also blew the shofar close to his ear with the meditations that are appropriate for this. Bahur started to scream, enough, enough, I surrender. The spirit now wanted to tell me his name and place of origin, yet I wasn't ready to listen. For I know it is the way of the spirits to be like Pharaoh. They only surrender for a moment, then they go back to being stiff-necked. Therefore, I decided to show the spirit the power of the holy names. Only when I was finished with the Yehudim was the spirit tired and worn down, and asked me to give it time to relax for its travails. Afterward, the spirit asked me, why do you seek to know my name and place of origin? Why do you need to know this? I said to the spirit, so that I can rectify your soul and allow you to ascend to the Garden of Eden, so that you won't suffer from being earthbound anymore. The spirit said, this is not possible, not for you or for your rectifications. I do not wish to go to the Garden of Eden. I said to the spirit, again you challenge me. I brought my mouth close to Bakur's ear so as to again recite the Yehudim. The spirit then screamed within Bakur's mind and said it would reveal its name. It said its name was David ben Safti ben Rivka from the city of Izmir, which is in Turkey. He said that he was an apostate and that he had slept with Gentile women, and that he left no children, and that he had possessed Bakur some 17 years earlier. The spirit then asked why I had flipped the world over on him, and he said, I have never hurt Bakur or caused him any harm, and if you are so concerned about these insignificant thoughts, I will be careful from now on not to cause him evil thoughts. Just leave me here in my place, for if I were to leave, where would I go? Where would I find rest? Bahur said to the spirit, go to Gehinnom. The spirit answered, I am not yet worthy to enter into Gehinnom, for I am guilty of sleeping with a menstrual woman, a Gentile woman, and a prostitute. Please don't go again to Yehuda, for I can't stand it. Let me stay here in my place, and I will not bother you further. All these things did the spirit speak within Bakur's mind, and he would speak them to me. Being that I really didn't want to deal with spirits, I made a condition with the spirit. If it would return and place evil thoughts in Bakur's mind, I would set my hand against it. Only a few short days had passed when the spirit returned to its evil ways and brought evil thoughts into Bakur's mind. Bakur came to me and related what was happening. I started to recite Yehudim by his ear. I commanded the spirit that this time to truthfully tell me his name, for the angel who oversees Yehudim already had revealed to me the spirit's name and place of origin. And this frightened the spirit. I told the spirit that I would continue to recite a number of Yehudim by Bachur's ear until he revealed to me his name, even as the angel had told it to me. The spirit was very disturbed by this, and he said his name was Tzvi, and his mother's name was Rivka, and that he was from Izmir. I commanded him to tell me the truth, for initially the spirit said his name was David ben Tzavti, and now he says his name is Tzvi. I asked him outright, aren't you none other than the notorious Shabtai Tzvi from Izmir, who made himself to be a Messiah? The spirit answered that this was the truth. I asked him, if so, you died in the year 1666. It has not been 237 years from your death. Tell me where you have reincarnated until now, and how were you judged? The spirit answered me mockingly, even if you get for yourself enough paper to write a book and enough pens, I will not tell you, for these things are none of your business. Now you are late for your class in the yeshiva. Your students are awaiting you. They are looking for you. How much time will you waste delaying here with me? I saw that what he said was true. I arose and left for the yeshiva. I decided I would finish this work tomorrow. While in the yeshiva, I met Rabbi Shimon Aron Agassi. I related to him this matter of Shabtai Tzvi and how he had possessed the soul of Bachur. Rav Shimon went and told these things to Rabbi Yosef Chaim, who is the Ben Ish Chai. Together they warned me not to continue with Shabtai Tzvi, fearing that he would hurt me. Hashem forbid. Next day, Bachur came to me, and I asked, and I started Yehudim for Shabtai Tzvi. From within Bachur, Shabtai Tzvi began again to curse me with awful curses. Bachur would tell me all. I stopped the Yehudim and started to speak gently to the spirit, words that would touch his heart. I spoke with him, saying, let me ask you some questions. What is my strife with you? Do you think that I wish to take revenge for what you did when you were alive? The spirit answered that he did not think this. I asked him, do you really think my intent with these Yehudim is to cause you harm so that I will receive a heavenly reward for my endeavors with Bachur? The spirit said it is not that. I said, for Bachur is a poor man. He cannot pay me for my services. Why then do you think I am troubling myself, taking time away from my learning, if not for the sake of your soul? Or is it still not a spark from God above? Can it not shine like the most brilliant pearl? It is only due to sin that you have fallen. The Holy One, blessed be He, is above all. And he is the source of all. It is by his design that you entered into Bachur's body, so that by such your soul would have a limit, an end to its sufferings, by the work I am doing with you. I am making the endeavors to rectify you. What then is my sin, my blemish, that you curse me with all these horrible curses? The spirit said to me, I can't stand the sufferings of the Yehudim. I said to him, it is the way of the world that if a person is sick from an illness deep inside the body, the doctor has to open up the body in order to remove the cause of the illness. Even if this causes much pain, the person suffers it so that he can get well. He doesn't curse the doctor. As for me, it is not my way to discuss things in such depth with the spirits, for the mass majority of them are quite ignorant and can't tell the difference between what is good for them and what is bad. However, I know what I know. I know that you are a very learned individual. You know how to judge for yourself what is your own good and what is not. Therefore, I am correct in what I am doing with you, and your curses can have no effect upon me, for I know that your soul does not truly wish to curse me. It is the klipa that surrounds you that is forcing you to act this way. Therefore, I forgive your soul. These were the words which Shabtai Tzvi that I spoke with kindness and respect towards him. Rabbi Yosef Chaim and Rabbi Shimon Agassi had both told me to be aggressive with him. When I finished my words, the Spirit answered me in the words of a wise man. I will not conceal from you a thing, for even though I suffer from the Yichudim like a man who has wounds in the flesh, and along comes the doctor who covers the wounds with vinegar and salt until it can hurt no more. Yet when the Yichud is finished, I do feel that my flesh has softened and that the wounds are healing. I feel at ease. And now I agree with your path. I want you to perform Yichudim upon me. And even if I jump or scream, pay no attention to my pain, for I scream due to the tremendous pain. I told him that this was still not enough. When a person becomes drunk and stumbles around, falling into a pit of mud, he cries out to those passing by to help him up. It goes without saying that the one in the mud helps those helping him to pull him out of the mud. He doesn't depend on them to do all the work. In relation to this, I ask you not to place your full burden upon me. I will work to remove the klipa from surrounding you on the outside, but you must make the efforts to remove your klipa from within yourself. Hashem will help us both. The Spirit answered, "Yes, yes, let's do it and prosper." I started performing a number of Yichudim, and the Spirit would scream horrible screams, yet I would not pay attention to his screams until I was exhausted from performing the Yichudim. The Spirit also was tired and exhausted from all its travails. It was not able to speak anything for a good amount of time. After this, I asked the Spirit if the Yichudim had helped rectify him. The Spirit said, "Yes, yes, Your Honor. I feel that the weight of the klipa is lighter upon me." I then asked him, "How thick is the klipa that is left upon you?" The Spirit answered, "Without exaggeration, it is at least 2 feet thick." I asked him, "I have one question to ask you. Tell me, does the ball of the sun revolve around the earth, or is it stationary in the heavens? Or it is suspended in the air of this world?" The Spirit answered me, "Do you wish for me to enter my head between the great mountains, meaning the souls of the Talmudic sages dwelling above, so that they will crush my head? What you find written in the books, learn. I have no business in these matters." I asked the Spirit a number of other questions, yet here I will only write the answers that were given to me, and from the answers, I'm sure that you will understand what the questions were. I am he, Shabtai Tzvi. My death was by hanging. I did not repent of my sins. I was buried in a Gentile cemetery. While I was yet alive, the klipa would materialize before my eyes. They are what caused me to become evil. I did not keep myself in holiness. The Spirit told me that he has reincarnated numerous times that cannot be counted. He merited to achieve the levels of Nefesh and Ruach. When the Neshama started to manifest within him is when happened what happened. Now he acknowledges that Moshe, our teacher, upon him be peace, is true, and that his prophecies are true, and that his Torah is true. Yet all this will bear him, the Spirit, no fruits, or being that he is dead. He is not obliged to observe the mitzvot. The merits he had earned from any mitzvot that he did perform are already gone. At this point, Rabbi Yehuda inserts this side note. Evil spirits can only speak in the heart, but not in the mouth. I give witness to this. In 1914, a virgin woman came to me who was then 35 years old. She was blind in both her eyes. She had reincarnated within her the soul of a rabbi that was of my generation, who I had known very well. With all this, he would only speak within her heart and not within her mouth. Even though she was blind, she did not study Torah, and this rabbi was attracted to her while he was still alive. Even now, he was trying to get her to commit a sexual sin with another rabbi, saying that from their union would be the Messiah be born. Yet she did not listen at all to his voice. And after performing Yehudim and making efforts, the identity of this rabbi was made known to me, as well as the fact that he had desired her. This then is the reason why the spirit speaks only in the heart and not in the mouth. They do not want to be recognized. This way they can be mocking and maligning. In Shar HaGilgulim, chapter 22 and 22a, it is written, when one reincarnates in a person, it is done in one of two ways. The first deals with the souls of the wicked, who after their deaths are not even worthy to enter the Gehinnom. They enter into the bodies of living persons here in this world. The second manner is when a soul impregnates a person by what is called an ibur. This soul bonds with the living person in great secrecy. Thus, if that person then commits a sin, the reincarnated soul within can then overpower the soul of that person whom they are inhabiting and cause that person to sin further and to deceive it into going in an evil direction. Until here are the words of the Shar HaGilgulim. It is possible that what the Rav, the Arizal, meant here when he referred to the souls who bond with the living person in great secrecy is that they do this for the reason mentioned above, so that they will be recognized, and thus they will be free to mock and otherwise trouble the public. And let us return to our subject. With regards to Bakur, he was the reincarnation of the Ruach, the aspect of the soul of Shabtai Tzvi. The Nefesh aspect was still living in an animal in the forest. It did not want to be in this place, nor did it want to ever reincarnate in the body of a Jew. It wanted to stay in the forest. Regarding Shabtai Tzvi, he was 35 years old when he died. I asked him a number of other questions that he did not want to answer me, for he was still encased in a klipah 2 feet thick. After 5 days, I again spoke with the spirit in a softer tone, and I saw that he had relented tremendously. He was actually remorseful over the sins that he had done. He was now very anxious for me to try to complete his rectification. He now abundantly blessed me and the members of my family. He said he wasn't saying all this talk about repentance for my sake. He wasn't saying all this for my sake, but rather because it was true. He told me that his first sin was that he had fallen victim to committing adultery, and that it is true what they say about him, that he had a homosexual affair while he was wrapped in his talit and tefillin. He even once sent a young man to have an illicit adulterous affair with his own wife, Sarah, telling the boy what was written in the Torah, All that Sarah says to you, listen to her. After his death, he was punished with demonic beatings for 12 years. Until now, he had always reincarnated into wild animals. Being in Bakur was his first time possessing a human. He then explained to me why he was able to enter into Bakur to possess him. The reason being that once Bakur, when a young man, gave a young girl a forbidden kiss. This Bakur died 30 years ago. Prior to this, the spirit said he would hang around Bakur's proximity because Bakur was from the same source soul as he. The spirit was. The teachings referencing this are in the Sefer HaLikutim. For the sake of one forbidden kiss was an opening created for the spirit to come in and possess Bakur. Yet the spirit is judged and punished every Friday. The spirit is judged and punished every Friday from the second hour of the day through the fourth hour and a half. The spirit told me that he is punished alongside the spirit of Yeshu on Notsri in boiling feces. Regarding myself, the spirit told me that I am here reincarnated for the second time, and that 15 years ago I merited to receive the Ruach level of soul. The spirit said that it was Hashem who brought him to me in order for me to rectify him. Regarding Bakur, he must learn Zohar every day in the early hours of the pre-dawn morning, as well as after his meal, for the sake of the elevation of the soul of Shabtai Tzvi Ben Rivka. He must go to the mikveh every day. He must not be concerned with the evil thoughts that pop up in his head. And when they do pop up, he should recite the verse, Rahash libi davar tov, my heart is a store with a good thing, and meditate upon the holy name Resh Chet Shin. Also, meditate upon the holy name Kibul Rinat Amecha, Krasatan, the six letters of the second verse of the Anabakoa. And the evil thoughts will be nullified. From that day onward, the spirit of Shabtai Tzvi would request of Bakur that he study more and more Zohar every day, more than the day before, even if this meant taking time out from making a living. When it came to going into the mikveh, the spirit would cause Bakur to hurry so fast that he would almost fall down the stairs into the water. The spirit would also awaken him every morning early in time for prayer. The spirit also requested of me that I should recite Yehudim for him every day into Bakir's ear, including the blowing of the shofar. The spirit thought that by doing all this, maybe he would merit to enter Gehinom. I asked the spirit when he would leave Bakur. He told me not to ask. When he was ready to enter into Gehinom, he would leave Bakur without having to be asked. And in truth, this was the way it was. For after a few days, Bakur was no longer being disturbed in his sleep. I examined him and found no traces of the spirit of Shabtai Tzvi. Thus ends a true story of demonic possession. What caused it, and what efforts need to be made to rectify such a terrible situation. Let us all learn from this a lesson to safeguard and protect ourselves. Evil surrounds us. It can only be neutralized by the good within us. And there is no good but Torah, the word of the living Hashem. Let us say the eighth verse of the Anna Batoach in a whisper. Let us read the 11th verse, or the 11th verse of chapter 1 of the Sefer Tomer Devora in the remaining minutes we have for this class. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Ishkin Tevid Hilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'achta L'shem Yud Hei Bavav Hei B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'atkuk Torah Mitzvah V'ayino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananehu Titen emet liyakov midazo hishayesh v'Yisrael mala otam habenonim she'enam yodim lehitnaeg lifnim mishurat hadin v'hem nikraim Yaakov b'nei she'enam mitnahagim ela im hanhagot amitiyot gam hakadosh baruch hu yesh lo midat emet shehu al tzad metziyut amishpat hayosher ve'elu hem Amit Nahagin Beolam Beshosher Hakadosh Barotu Mit Naheg Imahem Beemet Merechem Alehem Al Tzad Hayosher Vehimishpat Tenth of the 13 Midot, 13 Principles of Mercy. You shall give truth to Yaakov. This trait is that Israel has a virtue. Those average people that do not know how to act beyond the letter of the law. And they are called Yaakov, since they only act with true behavior. And also the Holy One, blessed be He, has a trait of truth, which is from the angle of the existence of straight judgment. And with these who act with straightness in the world, the Holy One, blessed be He, acts with truth. He has mercy upon them from the angle of straightness and judgment. Gam kein ha'adam tzarich lehitnahag im ha'beiro al tzad ha'asher v'ha'emet b'li l'ha'atot mishpat ha'baro l'rachem alav b'emet kimo she'hashem ha'ashem yitbarach merachem Al habriot habenonim, b'midat emet, b'taken otam. A person must also behave with his fellow from the angle of straightness and truth, without inclining the judgment of his fellow to have mercy upon him in truth. Just like God, may He be blessed, has mercy upon the average creatures with the trait of truth in order to refine them. Verse 12 is the 11th I'm looking at the 12th verse, I'm sorry. Chapter 1, verse 12, which is the 11th principle of mercy. Hesed le'Avraham, Heim ha'mit nahagim, Ba'olam lifnim mishurat, Hadin ke'Avraham, Avinu gam hakadosh baruch hu, mitnaheg imahem lifnim mishurat hadin, eino ma'amid imahem hadin, al tokto af lo kederech hayosher, elak niksas, Niknas imahem lifnim min hayosher kimo shehem. Midnahagem v'haynu chesed le'Avraham hakadosh baruch hu. Midnaheg b'midat chesed imotam shehem kimo Avraham b'hitnahagut. The 11th principle is kindness to Abraham. These are the ones that act beyond the letter of the law in the world, like Abraham, our father. Also, the Holy One, blessed be He, acts with them beyond the letter of the law. He does not take the law, the judgments, to its full force, even in the way of straightness. Rather, he seeks to go beyond straightness with them, just like they act. And that is the meaning of kindness to Abraham. The Holy One, blessed be He, practices the trait of kindness with those that are like Abraham in their behavior. Gam hadam im hayot she'im kol adam. Yehiye mitnaheg b'tzedek uv'yosher uv'mishpatim hatovim v'hachasidim tihiye hanhagato lefanim mishurat hadin ve'im lishar hadam ayasavlan katzale alu. Yoter v'yoter v're'achem aleichem likenes imahem lifnim mishurat hadin shehu mitnaheg ba'im sha'ar adam b'tari sheyihiyu elu hashuvim lifanav Ma'od, ma'od b'chamivivim, lo v'chem yihiyu me'anshe hevrato. Also a person, even as he acts with righteousness, straightness, and justice towards every person, his behavior towards the best and the pious should be beyond the letter of the law. And if he was a little patient with other people, towards these, he should be much more patient and have mercy upon them, to go with them beyond the letter of the law that he follows with all the other people. And these must be very, very important in front of him and be beloved to him. And they should be from the people of his entourage. That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow we will have two classes. One is continuing our study of the 10 luminous emanations by Rabbi Ashlag. And the 3 o'clock class will be continuing our study of the advanced reincarnation classes. I remind you that Thursday night in our 7 o'clock class is our Rosh Chodesh event. I hope you'll join us. Some people would question why I chose this particular story to describe to you, to say to you, to teach you tonight. But this is an item that needs cleansing. And it needs to be cleansed in each and every human being prior to the month of Elul. It needs to be cleansed. And that's why Rabbi Fataya chose this day, the 26th day of Av, which is the 26th day of wisdom, which is Hashem's connection to wisdom. All of that is available on the 26th day of the month of Av. And that's why Rabbi Fataya chose to leave that day. And that's why this story is in our tzaddikim. We need to contemplate everything that is taught in this story. And everything that is taught in these two principles of mercy that we read. Shavua Tov to all. Have a beautiful week. Shalom.
You too. Thank you.
Shavua Tov. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shavua Tov. Good night.
Shavuot Tov.
Thank you. Shavuot Tov.